We teased up before, Carlo, the relationship between relativism as a worldview or as a philosophical system and agnosticism and atheism. They're natural allies, so to speak, aren't they?
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, you know, there will be some atheists out there who will acknowledge objective moral truths, if we're talking specifically about moral. Well, even global relativism, they would deny global relativism and even moral relativism and say, yeah, there are absolute truths that we can know.
Like there is no God.
Right, that's right, yeah. That's right. And then, of course, within morality, they'll say, hey, yeah, we can be good people without belief in God. You know, it's wrong. They would even say, yeah, it's wrong what Hitler did. You know, it's wrong to torture a baby for fun. It's wrong to rape somebody, you know. But when we're talking about morality and atheism, fundamentally what it all boils down to is within an atheistic worldview, there can be no ultimate explanation for moral obligation. Atheists and agnostics can't have the possibility, the capability to come to know what is good or bad for us as human beings, given our human nature. You see, in our philosophical tradition as Catholics, we understand the natural moral law, right? We know,
which is written in our hearts, what J. Bajusevsky says, that which can't be not known.
That's right. Well, we look at human nature and we see that our nature is directed towards certain ends or goals, the achievement of which is beneficial for us, for human flourishing, for human fulfillment. And any human being, by virtue of the natural light of human reason, is able to know those ends and able to know the behaviors that will facilitate the achievement of those ends and be able to say, okay, this behavior is good for human beings because it's going to help facilitate the achievement of those ends, of those goods that are for human flourishing. So atheists and agnostics can know the dictates of nature, of the natural moral law, but fundamentally where the problem comes in is trying to make moral obligation intelligible without God. As far as one can go when it comes to obligation without God is, well, if I want to be a rational human being, then I ought to follow the dictates of nature and achieve the ends that my nature directs me toward. But that's approximate foundation for obligation. That's just saying if you want to be a rational human being, but we have to ask the question, well, why should I be rational, right?
What's the advantage of rationality over irrationality?
That's correct. You know, what if I have some sort of desire that would lead me to a behavior that would violate the achievement or frustrate the achievement of those natural ends? You know, why couldn't I do that? The point being is that without God, there is no will outside of my will to bind my will and oblige me to be reasonable, to follow the dictates of reason. Fundamentally, if there is no lawgiver behind the natural moral law, well, then the natural moral law has no obligation for me.
Let's concretize it with an example. If I am just getting away from faith versus agnosticism, if I'm an athlete and I want to win a gold medal,
right,
that's an end, right? That's
correct.
My goal.
Yep.
Now, there are things I must do to win that gold medal as an indispensable minimum. I must have a coach. I must get up early, and I must train very diligently, right? And I have to do things 10,000 times to get to that level. I have to have other experiences as a competitor with a track record of victory.
Right.
But the inverse is also true. There are things I must not do to get that gold medal.
That's correct.
I must not eat a high-sugar, high-carb diet.
That's correct.
I must not, you know, do things like sleep in. So it's omission and commission, right?
That's right. That's right. But fundamentally, you have the choice. See, that would parallel the human being who sees ends, the achievement of which will satisfy me and bring fulfillment for me as a human being.
But like here, a happy marriage.
That's right. Like that. That's right. Well, here's where the rubber hits the road. In your example, Patrick, you still have a choice whether you want to pursue that end or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to achieve that end of being the good athlete you want to be and succeed in your sport, right, that you're playing, well, then those means are necessary to achieve that end. But you don't have to choose that end in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, as human beings, we recognize these ends or goals, the achievement of which is going to bring human fulfillment given my nature. But then why I have the choice, do I even want to pursue those ends or not, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be obliged to pursue those rational ends, right, in order to have an obligation, we're going to have some lawgiver outside of my will,
mm-hmm.
outside of the natural moral law, to oblige me to even be reasonable and pursue those rational ends. And without God, that obligation is unintelligible. It doesn't exist.
Devil's advocate question. If that's true, why do some atheist criminals who won't get caught hand themselves in? There is some imperious thing called conscience, right, that
right.
urges us to avoid evil and do good, even if we think good and evil are fairy tale myths.
Right.
Contrarywise, why is it that so many Catholics who go to Mass every Sunday are completely fine with contraception? You'd think that because Paul VI does not appeal to Scripture, he appeals to conscience and the sacred tradition and the natural law. If those are reliable guides, why do they seem to be broken?
Well, we can always, well, that human freedom comes into play here. I think the answer is human freedom. And this is, it's interesting when we talk about the intellect and the will and how the intellect can present truth to the will. But the will fundamentally has to choose to act in accord with that mm-hmm. truth presented by the intellect. So even though as a rational human being, I can know the map that nature provides me, I can become aware of the means I need to take to achieve certain ends in this map we call the natural moral law, fundamentally, ultimately, I'm going to have to choose whether to follow the map or not.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Catholics who choose to continue using artificial contraception, for example, it's possible they might be invincibly ignorant of the map, right? Maybe they're ignorant of what the map is telling them, okay? And that's a possibility.
Or maybe that there is a map.
Or maybe that there is a map, that's right. But some, or possibly knowledgeable, have knowledge of the map. And fundamentally, they simply choose a lesser good. You know, they might choose the pleasure of sexual intercourse without having the worry or the responsibility of a pregnancy, etc. So they're choosing a lower good over the higher good of following the map. Don't deviate from the map, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So fundamentally, it boils down to the choice and the free will. So by way of contrast with the individual, let's say the criminal who changes his ways, he makes the fundamental choice
mm-hmm.
to follow the map and to not deviate from it. So we can know the map, but fundamentally, we're going to have to make the choice whether we want to follow it or not. And sometimes there are other goods that I perceive to be better than the good of following the map and not deviating from human nature.